We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, after a game of hockey, I mean...
We normally have a 60-second rundown, but we don't really need six
of those in this one. Yeah.
Nobody scored until New Jersey scored once in the third period, and the game ended 1-0. Congrats.
The end.
Recapped.
Genuinely not much to talk about.
Weird night in the NHL tonight. Four games have taken place already. Three were shutouts.
It's that kind of energy.
It's weird. And the one that wasn't a shutout, the Islanders beat the Hurricanes 6-2.
What planet is in Gatorade right now?
I don't know. I don't know which one, but one of them clearly is.
Look, this was a terrible hockey game, and I don't mean that in the sense of the Avs were terrible, which you could argue that they were. But this was a terrible hockey game from both teams. Low event, low effort, low talent.
Your expected goals for finished at 1.74 to 1.4.
That's a nothing game.
Yeah.
Nothing is happening in this hockey.
Yeah. So, like, there's just not...
Shots ended up, 23-20 or something?
They were 22-22 going into the last minute.
Yeah, and the Avs maybe got one or two more.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that, flurry at the buzzer, what counted as a shot
on goal
or not.
Sub 50 shots combined?
Yeah.
It's a nothing hockey game.
We talked about two talented offensive teams. They were going to hit the over, and they hit one.
They hit one goal.
One.
Singular.
One. We're going for one.
Yeah.
That was it.
And it was just an absolute mess all the way around. As this wasn't the Avs got their chances and they just didn't capitalize. And same for New Jersey's side. This was can these teams string two passes together tonight?
Yeah, and this is one of the ones where I think lots of blocked shots in passing lanes a lot. I looked at the scoring chances at the end of the game and was surprised that they counted them that high.
Yeah.
That New Jersey got credit for 13 high danger chances blows my mind, because I don't recall 13 between both teams
me
combined.
Either. Me either.
Let alone for one team. I mean, this was just such a sloppy hockey game. Somebody said it felt like a preseason game. Eh, kind of.
Yeah, I think it did at times, and it's hard to put that into context because, yeah, I think there was a ton of sloppiness on the offensive side.
Yeah.
But you look at a player like Josh Manson, who played great defense tonight.
Yeah.
Working away pucks, consistently breaking up plays.
Yeah.
And then the plays would just die the second he tries to pass it to anybody.
Yeah, well, when you look at, I think Sam Girard probably best embodied the struggles of the whole game tonight, where he's moving his feet. The speed of the game was fine.
Yeah, it was just nothing.
The pace was fine.
Right.
And Girard, getting up and down the ice, and he's spinning, he's twirling on dudes, he's doing all these things, right? Like, you're like, damn, dude, Sam Girard should be vibing. And every pass that he makes is 6 inches too far, 6 inches too short. Right. It's any guy's skate.
In a skate, just out of reach.
Yeah, it's just a hair off. It just, yep. It felt like everybody on both teams was
that
really,
far off.
Really out yep. of sync.
Yep, agreed.
Like you know when you sit down at your computer to type and you're so accustomed to it being in one spot that you just start typing and then you realize all you've typed is gibberish
because you're not on the home row.
Because you are that your keyboard is 1 inch to the left.
Yep.
And everything that you thought you were saying has come out to be. That is what this hockey game was. It was your keyboard is slid too far out of position and you didn't realize it until you started typing.
And it was too late then to go back.
Absolutely. So. It's for both teams.
Yeah,
It was both teams.
It's not like, the Avs just got outplayed. No, it was a total mess for both hockey teams in that way. Is that an excuse? No. I think you should be frustrated with the Avs tonight in the sense that...
you go 0-6 on a power play, you lose 1-0.
Yeah, right.
The math here isn't hard.
It's... You know the Avs are so much better than that. And, like... I will bet you a significant sum of money they play better than that tomorrow night.
Yeah, we just saw this a week ago.
Right. The exact same thing played out with Seattle and Vegas.
The exact same thing where Seattle rolled into Denver. The Avs did not play a very good game. Seattle played really well in that game, though. And that was the difference, is that I don't think either one of these teams played very well.
At their best, this was their C game, maybe.
Yeah, it just didn't look any good. Like, you guys are arguing about Nicholas Abe-Kubel and Nico Sturm and shit. What about Nathan McKinnon? He didn't do anything. Like, Kale McCarr has 0 goals in 8 games.
Even if you're, I even saw the argument a number of times on the watch along with, like, wow, you can really feel the impact of Val Nichushkin not being out there, and it's like, okay, maybe Val being in there changes the way this game looks. But Val doesn't make everyone on the team remember how to pass up hockey puck.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
I'd just like to say, Nuggets fans kill me.
Every play. It's incredible.
We were watching the end of the game, and people are losing their minds because the Nuggets hit the first shot of the game.
It wasn't even the first shot.
I mean, they hit their first shot.
Yeah, yeah.
They went from 3-0 to 3-3.
Yeah.
And the crowd is going, like, these guys are so into it. And I'm just like, how do you guys do this all game? Suddenly, I have an appreciation for a sport where 5 goals get scored in a
right.
game.
It's like, they're up by 20 right now and still popping off.
And it's like, not like 65 scores between teams here.
I don't have the emotional depth to cheer that much. I can't do it. And look, I think the most frustrating part about this is because you just saw this play out.
Yeah, and like you... There is a reality here. Like, you are a thin team at forward this year.
Yep.
Coming in, you were thinner than you were last year, and now you have no Gabe Landeskog, you have no Val Nichushkin. It is an uphill battle to generate that offense. Evan Rodriguez gets a clean breakaway and doesn't score.
Yep.
Kale McCarr hits the post in the first period of the game.
Yep.
Doesn't score. Your top line, just doesn't generate much all game long. Doesn't score. Like, it's just not... Like, they just did not play very well.
Yeah.
Like, they just didn't play very well. Pavel Francouz was fine.
He was fine, and then he really should have had the one goal that went in, but...
Yeah, and he gives up a bit of a softy, but in no way are you looking at it and saying...
It's not Francouz's fault they scored zero goals!
Yeah, you're like, if you would have told anybody before the game, Pavel Francouz is going to give up one goal tonight, you'd be
taking that, yeah.
So the Avs are winning this game, baby!
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yep. And it's just...
They just didn't play well enough. And I don't think they played poorly. They just didn't play well enough to win.
I would lean them on the poorer side.
I guess I say they didn't play poorly relative to New Jersey. I don't feel like they got bodied.
I agree with that. I think that's more... And New Jersey also played poorly.
Agreed. And I also think... I also think, like, you go over six on a power play.
Yeah, you got to have one. And
like, coming into the game, that's the last thing on the list of things that you were concerned about.
Like, right, the power play you didn't care about, you really needed one. The bigger concern there is you now have 0 5-on-5 goals in the last two games. And is that
and your 5v5 scoring all season hasn't been
Bad. And
it just hasn't been good.
Again, is this a, oh God, long-term problem? No. No, this is one bad hockey game. And it's a non-fun way to lose. It certainly wasn't a fun game to watch.
It was weird. I felt better watching this game than I did the Seattle game. The Seattle game was incredibly
frustrating. Because the Avs were just getting dominated in that game, right?
Yeah. Like, and I think that's what made this probably more palatable to me, is that I felt like both teams just didn't look good.
I found that frustrating because you feel like the Avs should be able to capitalize on a team not playing particularly well.
Definitely.
Find a way to not play
competition. There's no reason. They had 2 days off, man.
Right, exactly.
There's no reason for them to have played poorly. Yeah, they've got depth issues. There's no reason for Mikko Rantanen to be dicking around with the puck and be a non-factor.
And that's...
There's no reason for Nathan MacKinnon to not generate much of anything all night. There's no reason... You know, Arturi Lehkonen hadn't done anything since, what, the first game of the season?
Well,
he just hasn't looked very good for most of this.
And
that's why he got dropped for Rodriguez, who looked, once again, like one of the more dangerous forwards out there. Alex Newhook has 0 points in 8 games.
Yep.
JT Compher has 1 assist in 8 games.
And the problem here is not, look, players and teams have off nights. If you're having a sloppy night, you're having a sloppy night.
Totally. This is part of the process. It's just how it is.
You can work through that. It's especially when you compare these teams one-to-one at the top. You expect the Avs' talent to shine through on a night where things maybe aren't clicking. They have the individual players to have the ability to just find a way to make things work. And look, I don't want to say it's lack of effort. I think at times you found the Avs being a little bit lazy tonight, but that's not the full story. It's just guys weren't making it work.
Yeah. Yeah, and the first... It really shows, like, with no Gabe Landeskog and no Val Nichushkin, if Colorado's top line is not going to do the heavy lifting, you're going to struggle.
You're in trouble, straight up.
And, yeah. Again, I've said this a million times, but, wow, what a revelation. There are very few teams in the NHL where if their top line is not doing the heavy lifting...
They don't win very many games. Yeah.
Those teams are just... rolling right along.
Yeah.
You don't win that way consistently in the NHL. Your best players have to be your best players. And right now, like, the Cale Makar, it's a very real thing. You can look at his points and be like, but he's not generating much at 5v5. The 5v5 player has not been what we've come to expect from Cale Makar. And Devon Toews has not been any kind of dangerous offensively.
Yep.
He's not jumping into the play and creating odd man rushes with the IQ. He's not coming through the neutral zone at the same level that we're accustomed to. You know, Byram, Girard, those guys, I thought both of those guys were just okay tonight.
I'm not here for the 2C takes in chat right now.
Yeah, I'm also you do it every game. Yep. Every game you guys either want to burn somebody down and get rid of them, or you're like, oh, just give him another game and give him another game. For me, I don't know what you do.
Here's...
I'm not asking the top line to do everything. They scored 0 goals tonight.
You're asking them to do anything.
They were scoreless on 6 power plays. Who gets the majority of those power play minutes?
The top
Who
guys.
Who gets the majority of the even strength minutes? Like,
also
you
the
got
top
nothing
guys.
Out of your top line.
Yep.
And like... the vast majority of the time, that is, like, when they have an off night, you just have to deal.
Yep.
The problem is that you've now had a couple of those nights. Yep.
2 in your last 4.
Exactly. Where you're like, oh, the top line has just really been super pedestrian here.
Yep.
And we've talked about how Colorado can get away with an okay second line that's kind of trying to find its way early on because of a high-scoring defense. Well, I mentioned it. I just mentioned it. I thought Girard and Byram were just okay.
And the rest were nothings at best. Yeah.
Toews didn't do a whole lot, and Cale Makar just wasn't good enough.
Yep.
So you're talking about none of your tip-top guys here are doing
it. Showed up enough, yeah.
And, like, your most dangerous guys tonight might have been JT Compher and Evan Rodriguez.
Probably. You just didn't. And I, yeah, the Avs, particularly in the offensive zone, just did not do a good job of getting dangerous looks to the net.
There's no experienced 2C to come. They need an experienced 2C. Does that mean JT Compher?
That's your choice.
Because that's your option right now. So my question is, what are you expecting them to do? They're not making a trade.
Yep. The harsh reality of the world in the hockey season for the Avs this year, if Newhook isn't the guy right now, they're just going to live without a guy right now until the trade deadline.
Right. Like, you have to, yeah, okay, trading Gerard, we're back to this. Okay. All right. I'm starting. I now regret engaging. But it's like you right now, you've just got to live with the struggles right now.
Yep.
Like, you just do.
Yep. It's
like we knew it was. It's so funny because over the summer we were like, oh, they're gonna have a slow start to the year. They're having kind of a slow start to the year, and they're 4-3-1. It's not great.
If they literally lose their next three games, yeah, it's the same start as last
year. Like,
it's
not great, man. Like, it's really, obviously, like, it's not great.
It is what it is. I mean,
like, you need more from all of these guys.
Can you be upset with this hockey game? Absolutely. But you have to be able to compartmentalize that a bad hockey game is not burn it down.
You think I'm condescending to you, but they're not trading Sam Girard.
It's just not
reality. They have built their team through defense. And, like, maybe you have a 2C option already.
It's also,
you don't,
like,
know.
You're also – it's not condescension. It's, do you guys understand how many times we have to tell everyone that they're not trading Sam Girard?
Right, and, like, we've had these same conversations for 3 months now. We had them all summer before they signed Evan Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Then they signed Evan Rodriguez, and everybody was like, 2C is fixed. And, like,
yep.
It just – they haven't quite gotten there yet. And – some of this is some bad luck. Like, you have two top six injuries right now, yeah, with Nuke and Landy.
Pretty significant impact.
Nuke was helping paper over some of that with, like, great production.
Yep.
And now it's even harder. Like, it's even more of an uphill start. Like, it just has not gone great to start the year.
And they're still
It hasn't gone incredibly poorly
either. They're a team with two top six injuries. They've missed Devontaeves for games.
Yeah.
And their backup...
They missed Devontaeves for a game that they won,
right,
in Vegas.
Right. Like, their backup goaltender is 0-3 at marginal fault of his own at most.
I mean, he gives up one goal tonight.
You're right. And loses.
Well, like, and, like, that's like we were talking about, oh, he was 6-0 in the playoffs, but he got 8 goals of goal support, right, you know, one night, you, yeah, know, where you're just like, gosh dang, man.
And
I, like, you're definitely just in a position right now. They're not making a trade.
Yep.
They're not making a trade.
It's the reality that they're not making
the
trade.
You have to be patient
and
here.
Why would you make a trade when you're above 500?
Well, and, like,
to start the year,
nobody in your division has taken off.
Yep.
It's not like there's a team that's 8-1.
With the loss tonight, they're 4 points back of first, I think.
So, let me see. Let me just see.
Yeah, you can look it up.
To be honest with you, I don't look at the standings.
I don't very often either.
And really, if you look at the standings much before January, it's probably
not super meaningful. Yeah.
All right, let me see. They are second in the division after the loss tonight, 2 points behind Dallas.
So they're only 2 points behind with the loss,
yeah,
tonight?
And they're one up on Chicago is next, then Winnipeg, then Minnesota,
so,
Nashville, and St.
So
Louis.
So literally zero worries.
Yeah, like, so all of these, like, problems and stuff, but they're, like, second. They're second in their division still, which is why I'm saying they're not making a trade. There's no urgency to fix this problem right now. You want to see what Alex Newhook can do.
Yep.
And also, like, you kind of have to pick a side here, guys. You have to either be give young guys a chance
and give them the chance,
or
be anti
from
the start. Yep.
You have to live with some failures.
A realistic chance is 15 to 20 games.
I mean, I would even just say 10 to 15. If you're getting consistent minutes, 10 to 15 games, Look, man,
10 is the absolute minimum, but sure.
If you're scoreless after 10
minutes, and that's a problem.
You can really start to be like, this is definitely not working.
That is a problem. I think it's a more complicated situation than that. And while I don't think Alex Newhook was particularly good tonight, you've seen enough from him where you're like...
I mean, he full-blown panicked.
Yeah.
He got the puck on the power play.
In the bumper spot and was like, what do I do?
And he is supposed to shoot that puck immediately.
Yep.
And he was so surprised that puck got to him. He just passed it back.
Yep.
And one, that's a player with no confidence.
For sure.
Like, screams confidence problems. But that is a, like, and how do you fix a confidence problem? You get one, man.
Yep.
Like, you get
one. And the thing, before tonight, there was three straight games of where you're like, oh, he's going to get one.
Yeah,
it's coming.
He's had really good scoring chances. I think tonight is probably just. I think tonight is probably just a really good example of one team just made the most of the one opportunity.
Yep, the Avs had six power plays and didn't score again.
Like, nobody, man, like nobody.
Well, they're
it's on the top line. It's on lines 2 through 4. Well, it's on all six defenders. The only guy I'm not putting tonight on is Pavel Francouz.
And
he did his job.
Yeah, we'll get into it a little bit more. We are brought to you by Avoca TV. You can go over there and
watch
boring Avs games and exciting Avs games. You can watch them all. They have Altitude. They have AT&T Sportsnet. They have the national channels. So if you want to watch the Broncos at 7 in the morning, you can do that too.
Does that... Let me give you an either or.
Okay.
All right. I don't even know if it's an either or, but... I can shove pine cones into your eyeballs. Or you can wake up at 7 in the morning to watch the Broncos-Jaguars game on Sunday. Which one, right now, knowing what you know, which one sounds more appealing?
The Broncos game, because I don't want to go blind. Pine cones into my eyeballs is pretty rough. But I would rather watch this exact hockey game again than watch the Broncos.
Look, we got a lot of pine cone answers here.
Y'all are underestimating how pointy pine cones are, guys. You're going to put an eye out for sure. If you go with the pine cones, you never get to watch hockey again.
Yeah. True. I mean, I'm not trying to blind you. I'm just trying to do something very uncomfortable.
Now, if the pine cones into other orifices, we might have a conversation. Okay, well, but
like, how about like pine cones into like your ears?
No, Ted, give me the pine cone for sure.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Anyway, Avoca TV, go to avoca.tv/DNVR. That's EVOCA.tv/DNVR. Way better than getting pine cones shoved into your eyes.
Being better than, in general, being assaulted by pine cones.
Having worked with Comcast before, Comcast customer service often feels like pine cones getting shoved into all sorts of my body parts.
Oh, my God, dude.
So, Avoca is better than that. Go over there, get them. We're also brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNBR. You can get them down here at the bar. You can get them at your local liquor store. Check out breckbrew.com for the Breck beer locator. You can also check out Athletic Greens. Felt like the Avs needed some before this game to get a little bit of jump going, get a little something going into this game. You can have one scoop of it every morning. It gets your immune system going. It gets you boosted. It's got vitamins and minerals all over the place, 75 different kinds. Electrolytes, adaptogens, all the good stuff. Take control of your health today. Go to athleticgreens.com/avalanche to order. And when you do, you get a year's supply of vitamin D. Whew. All right. I think we're probably only doing two periods tonight. That's why we got the extras in there. Because there's just not a ton to talk about in this hockey game.
Man, I also got to say, I don't think Jared Bednar does himself any favors with this bullshit.
Playing his fourth line 5 minutes or whatever it is.
Jacob McDonald played 3:21 at 5-on-5.
Yeah, that's nothing.
On the front end of a back-to-back, it doesn't do him any favors. Mikhail Maltsev plays 7:01. Martin Kaut plays 6:58. Like,
so
especially on a night where you don't have one line like very clearly going.
You get halfway through that game and you're like, my first line isn't working. You need to play those dudes, right?
Yeah, I this is a thing that I think is fair to criticize Bednar for.
I agree.
Man, I just...
I agree.
It, Dryden Hunt, 743.
If you have a player that you are unwilling to give 8 minutes or two, barring like if he goes out there and makes two brutal mistakes, yeah, you bench him. I get it.
Yeah.
But if you have a player just playing stock standard game and you aren't willing to give them at least 8 minutes, why are they on your roster? Because it's just, it does not matter. You could play any guy in the AHL for 3 minutes and 21 seconds, and it wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, like, that's just, like, at that point, like, why is Jacob McDonald here?
Right.
Like, just roll Curtis McDermott in here. There's no difference,
any hockey player in the Avs organization, you could take, you could pull an injured Chris Romain out of college and drop him in there for 3 minutes, and it'd be fine.
Well, it may not be with him being hurt.
Well, you know, but.
Yo, Jean-Luc Foudy, 3 minutes, baby.
That's what, it literally, it has zero impact on the game.
Yeah. Unless that 3 minutes is like, you've given up two goals in those 3 minutes.
Right. Unless it's a complete disaster.
Yeah, unless true disaster.
This was not the case. There wasn't a goal scored until the third period.
Like, Martin Kautz, Corsi tonight, 3-4, 5 against.
That's nothing.
Maltsevs is 2-4 and 8 against. McDonald's is 0-4. Dryden Hunt is 5-6.
They weren't on the ice long enough for anything to happen.
Mikko Rantanen, by the way, 9 Corsi, 4 and 23 against.
That's bad. That's bad.
This is what I'm saying. Like, this is a game that I start at the top of the roster. I'm starting at the top of their roster and saying it started with the top guys. The top guys were not nearly good enough. And the rest of the roster, yeah, I don't think that they were good enough either. But you're talking about guys that are at least pushing even in shots. You know, guys that are getting, like, somewhere close to it. Your top line is just not...
Well, and the flip side of what we were just talking about, that top line played, what, 25 minutes tonight?
Yeah.
So they played 25 minutes and got caved for all of it.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah, natural stat trick is where you go for, is where we go for our quick looks at things. You can also, it's like hockey stat cards or something. Yeah, hockey card stats, something
like I forget
like
the
that.
Exact. It's something
is another
like
one where they use... they use game score, which I personally don't like.
I'm not
much
a fan.
I don't like game score. I don't like all of it being wrapped up.
There's some other, like...
In one metric like that, I think is so not good.
You can get some other stuff, like Money Puck has their own XGF.
Yeah.
That
I don't like. I also don't like Money Puck, so...
Natural Stat Trick's the place.
Yeah.
That's the place to go.
I'm not sure which second line guy, like, I don't want to get too into the revisionist history of the summer, but I don't know what second line guy you're expecting the Avs to sign with Josh Manson's $4 million.
Yep.
Because, like, keep in mind, the Avs are pretty capped out as it is.
Yep.
After the Evan Rodriguez deal, that put them right at about $1 million, maybe a little more, depending on, like, which, like, roster filler guy that you put on there.
Ignoring the fact that everyone was clamoring for Evan Rodriguez as the second line guy.
Yeah, well, and like, but if you'd gotten Danton Heinen for $1 million, great. Like, that would have been great.
Sure.
We would have been all for it. We advocated for that. Sonny Milano is another guy that we were like, hey, for $1 million.
But the idea that you were going to go out and get a $5 million player.
Well, and like a not going to concern myself with this player. Like Andrei Burakovsky, if they just brought him back at $5.5 million. You lose out on Josh Manson. You probably don't have Evan Rodriguez.
It gets really hard to pay Nuke.
Yeah, like I'm really just – it's really making it up to be like, oh, well, Manson cost them a second line.
And again, why are we trying to completely structure the organization when they're an above 500 hockey team right now?
Yeah, when like, they're not in trouble.
I don't understand the aggression there.
They've got two goalies who have been playing pretty well to start the year. The numbers aren't great because some – low shots, a couple of goals get in, but, like, I don't think either guy has been bad to start the year. You know, Frankie
Georgiev
has
arguably been very good.
And certainly trending up, man. Yeah. His last two or three games have been great.
Yep.
And, like, Frankie, to be honest with you, the idea that the fact that Pavel Francouz is 0-3 right now is karmic retribution
for going 6-0 in those playoffs.
His whole career, really. He has won some games where he's given up 4 and 5 goals.
Yep, and the Avs just drop a 7-bomb, and it's
He got insane goal support. So it's not exactly what you said, Eddie, but also go back and read what you said and. You're basically saying Manson cost us a second line guy, and it's like, what my thing? Yeah, see, they couldn't have sunk a bunch of money into Manson. Like, true, that was going to be an iffy conversation, and to be honest with you, a 1 year conversation.
Yep,
because you know, you move forward.
They could have not sunk a bunch of money into Manson, but
where you reallocate that money is in the second line.
The conversation
that's the idea here, because you're not going to reallocate it to another defenseman.
You were never in that room. From day one of the offseason, Everyone was like, we're targeting Manson.
Yeah, bring him back. Yeah. That way you have a great top six defense.
Right. And
like it stops at
six.
And
that's exact. The Avs top six is the best in the league, though.
Right.
And the Avs have made their bed there. And they're going to live through struggles when Alex Newhook goes 8 games without any points.
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing, though, is that when we're talking about, like, we talk about, like, Martin Cowell, like, oh, like, not giving him an opportunity or this and that. Like, what Alex Newhook is getting right now is a young guy getting an opportunity to take a big job.
And if you
like
were
that.
On the flip side of that conversation, when Devon Toews goes out, the Avs' bottom pairing without Josh Manson would have been Curtis McDermott and, like, Keaton Middleton.
Yeah, or they would have, you know, maybe they could have gone out and made the Ethan Bear deal today. You know,
sure, whatever.
For $2 million, you'd probably prefer Ethan Bear over Josh Manson if you were getting the Ethan Bear pre-COVID.
But
the reality is that Ethan Bear post-COVID
hasn't been very good. Yep.
And, like, this is all the, like, the push and the pull and... What do you do? Because if there's no Josh Manson, you need to replace
Josh. There's always
Josh Manson.
Going to be a hole somewhere.
And it's you're not going to replace that guy to just no money.
I don't know that, like, I hear what you're saying, and yeah, the bottom of the Avs forward roster is a mess because they're missing 3 forwards.
Well, because we talked about it the other day. If you get Landeskog, Nichushkin, and Helm back.
Their entire current fourth line is not in the lineup.
Then your second line consists of, your whole fourth line.
Yep.
Those 4 guys that we talked about that were playing, like, no minutes.
They're all out of the lineup.
Are either scratched or back in the AHL.
Yep. So you play through the injuries, and the Avs absolutely are a good enough team to have the luxury that they're fine. They're not worried about the injuries and having a little bit of a slower stretch.
The problem, like, they can't sustain much more. Like, they can't
more
lose.
Injuries. Sure.
Yes.
If they were to lose someone from their top line, you're going, oh shit.
Yeah.
But they haven't. So.
Because they just knock on wood.
Right.
But again, very few teams in the league are like, we're talking about this. Like, the Avs did a poor job building their roster out, and like, we'll see.
But it's like, name the 15th forward on any team in the NHL.
Yeah.
That isn't the name a single team's 15th forward.
Well, and
forward.
Like, which teams out there are equipped to import an entire line from the AHL?
Right.
And then their top line not produce points, and they win.
Yep. And like, no team on earth is capable of that.
Like, on any given night, consistently, right? But, like, you can win a game every once in a while. We had Vegas won like multiple games the last couple of years
with 16
skaters. Dudes.
Yeah. And things like, you're gonna get a night where Logan O'Connor pops off for 2 goals.
Totally.
But you can't go into a game expecting that.
Yeah, and that's why we were talking about earlier, like, they're not making a deal. Just have some patience here. Does this suck? Yeah. Like, it sucks to sit through. It sucked to sit through last year. It has sucked to sit through the first 10 games of every season in Bednar's tenure. They've never really had a great start to a season under him. I don't know why that is. It's odd.
Yeah.
But also, like, those Nick Robertson and Dennis Malgin is what we're going to pretend is good depth.
Also, Wayne Simmons, not good depth.
Washed Wayne Simmons, Kyle Clifford.
None of that is good depth.
Oh, like, my gosh.
If the Avs
Wayne
were playing...
Wayne Simmons used to be so good,
He used to be, and then his knees blew up,
and that was that. Like,
you have
hip surgeries at 30 years old, and that's tough.
And if Wayne Simmons was playing in games right now, I guarantee you, and I would be on this boat, too, I would be losing my mind saying, why the hell is Wayne Simmons playing over Martin Kaut?
Well, and, like... They're not even winning.
Right. The Toronto's terrible. They have done awfully to start the season.
Oh, Myers is in the AHL and got hurt over the weekend.
Correct.
So.
An unfortunate situation.
Yeah. Though. Which, how often is it that guys are going down and getting hurt, dude?
It feels like a lot. It does.
Like, how many times have we had the conversation in Shane Bowers' career where, hey, here's an opportunity, and people are like, how come Bowers isn't getting called up?
He's hurt.
Like, he's got a shoulder injury. He's got a knee injury or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, feels like it's been like a weirdly consistent thing for them, and it hasn't mattered who it was.
Yep.
You know, like even some of the non-prospects, some of the AHL vets in the last few years have gone down and just get hurt.
Just
like Dennis Gilbert, like battled injuries all
that
year
whole
last
season.
Year.
Yeah, it was bad.
It sucks, man.
I honestly, we're gonna keep this one short. I really don't have much more to say here.
Yeah, like it's a frustrating game. It's a disappointing game.
Yep.
It's a 1-0 hockey game. It's a razor-thin margin between us being like, well, they escaped.
They got away with it. Hey!
And that sucks.
And again, I have no problems with you being significantly frustrated or upset with this game in a vacuum. It's just don't blow it into something bigger than it is.
Yeah, and like the number one thing, like they're not making a deal. They've got they've invested in the guys that they have. They don't have a lot of flexibility here for them to do much more.
Yep. They set up their cap situation. They made their bed. And let's be honest. Chat, you can answer this too. Do you believe the Avs are a playoff team right now? Even with the injuries they're dealing with?
Are we assuming that they play the next 74 games? With no Landy, no Nichushkin, no Darren Helm?
I would say you can assume no Landy for the entire... Like, assume no Landy for the entire
for
season.
For the entire season?
Yeah. Are they a playoff team?
I still think that they're a playoff team. I'm less comfortable with the idea that they're going to go on a deep run.
Well, but my point is, get to the playoffs and then get healthy.
Yeah. Health is one of those things where you talk about where you're like, oh, well, I'd rather them do it now than in April. Like, there's nothing in the universe that says that that's how it works.
Right. No, I hear you.
They could be hurt today. They could be hurt in December. They could be hurt in April.
I hear you. And
you just have to get lucky.
And the reality is everyone is hurt to some extent at all times, right? But if your panic is the team is injured now.
There shouldn't be any panic.
Right.
You could be, like, frustrated that their 5v5 play is bad.
Definitely.
And that they're not scoring. I say bad, but it's just not productive.
But you also play the first 12 weeks of the season knowing Landy will be coming back.
Yeah.
You play the next two games knowing Nuke will be coming back.
Yeah. Like, their 5v5 play isn't good enough, man. And tonight, number one thing, more than their 5v5 play, they went 0-6 on the power play.
Yep.
And you give up a power play goal.
Look, and
they get one goal on a power play. You score nothing on six power play opportunities, and you lose 1-0. And this is easy math tonight.
And it's 100% fair to ask for more out of your best players.
Dude, totally.
But all of your best players, despite their shortcomings, are point per game players this year.
And how much do you think this carries over into tomorrow for you? How much do you think it carries over? I agree with you, especially because we have seen. The Avs in back-to-back.
Last week!
The Avs in back-to-backs over the last few years have been very, very competitive.
Yep.
And we did see it last week. Both teams. The weird thing here.
Yep.
The Islanders are traveling farther.
Funnily enough.
From Carolina to back to their home.
Colorado takes the bus 15 minutes up the road.
Yeah.
So, I just can't look at this big picture and think about this game very much at all.
Yeah, if this is a game that we remember, that means 4 months.
That
now,
means the Avs are
surprised.
Clawing for a wild card spot.
I'd be surprised if this is one of those games that we think about later on. Like,
agreed.
I think this will be Like, that Rangers game was exciting. It was cool.
Super fun.
Yeah. I think that Vegas game we'll probably remember, and opening night we'll probably remember. And the Calgary game we'll probably remember just because it was... They were set up for such failure. It was such a weird situation.
This is a... Oh, yeah. I remember that one terrible game against New Jersey. Like,
but, like the Jets game, it's already just...
Whoosh. Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seattle game.
Out,
gone.
Yeah. In, like, in and out. Like, it's out of here. But it's... It's really just a slow start.
And, like, you make a good point here, Avery. Like, obviously, feel however you want to feel. I'm not going to tell you how to fan. But also, you know, be realistic with your ideas and concepts.
Well, yeah, like this, like, we're not, like, Sam Girard's not getting moved. Like, we don't need to relitigate Josh Manson signing 8 games into the season. Like, this is a thing where, hey, let's get 2 years down the road and then we'll see and how, like, it worked out.
And, like, totally, if you want to go punch your pillows about how bad Mikko Rantanen was tonight, absolutely. You can be as frustrated as you want to be with that dude tonight, because he was terrible.
He was really bad. And, like, Nathan McKinnon, for me, tonight was really about the Stars.
Agreed.
Just getting beat.
They just weren't good enough, yeah.
And that's okay. Because so many of the other games we've talked about this year, the Stars have lit other teams up, and we're like, can these dudes get some help here? But tonight, they didn't do much to help themselves.
Yeah, that look. If you want help, you got to help yourselves, for sure.
Not very good.
Yep.
I knew we were in for a Mikko night on that power play.
Right away, yeah.
When he got that puck and he tipped it, like, between, like, that cute little tip behind him, to try and keep it inside the zone instead of stopping it and trying to make a play. And he just
didn't. Yeah.
Like, way too cute. And the thing with Mikko is, the thing that kills me is that he does it immediately. Yep. So as soon as he got the puck, he knew what he wanted to do with it.
That was his idea from the start.
Exactly. Yep. There was no like scanning and scan. Like, it was like, I'm doing this. I'm doing the cute thing. Immediately, like, that's what I'm after.
I mean, if that's your take, I mean, you should be happy with the win, Devils fans. But if you think they showed up against the champs,
dude, if you're a Devils fan, you're happy about every win. You're trying to get into the postseason.
You're happy about the win, but I don't know how a Devils fan can look at this game and go, "Boy, they played so well tonight."
Well, like, it's like we'll see you guys when you guys come to Denver, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
you know, like that's the fun part of playing everybody twice now.
Okay, I have nothing else to say, AJ. You got any final thoughts?
It was a bummer of a night. Like, it was not a fun hockey game. It was not a fun result. It's frustrating. Some of the problems that we've seen just continued, and then there were some new ones that popped up.
Yep.
And so it's like, hey, that's all recipe for you losing a hockey game, they did.
And
so,
look, it is what it is. The Avs play tomorrow and then get 4 days off to go to Finland. So, more than that, even. It's the whole... Is it 5? Yeah, it is 5 days, right? Because it's Sunday through Thursday. So, 5 days off after tomorrow for the Avs.
Yeah.
Time to travel.
Yeah, and this is the same thing that we talked about at the start of last year with this trip that was built into their schedule that they didn't go on.
Right, right.
That, realistically, like, I saw somebody mention it in chat, too. There's no rhythm in the schedule. Yep. They have 2 days off. They play a game. Yep. They have 2 days off. They have a back-to-back.
Yep. It doesn't start until they get back from Finland, and then it feels like the schedule finally. Yeah.
We'll be a month or two into the season.
Yep.
And their schedule will really normalize in mid-November, and we can really start to be like, okay, if these things continue. Yeah.
Once they're settled in.
One of the side effects of a weird schedule is also your practice schedule is inconsistent. And their practicing has been really inconsistent.
And
they haven't done it very much because their travel has been weird.
So nonsense.
And then when they get on the ice the other day, it's like super foggy and nobody can see anything.
Well, and the thing I want to end on is bad games happen.
Dude, totally.
As long as you're not stringing them together, you're not too worried about it. If the Avs drop their next 3 games and look like that in all of them, then you're going, hey, wait a minute.
There might be bigger problems.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah, totally.
But one bad game, call it 2 bad games if you want to count the Seattle one.
my hand is still so far away from any panic button that it's like.
I mean, look, as long as you're not, it's well said. Just don't string losses together. You're going to have a bad day. Just don't have bad days. Don't put them together.
Yep.
One bad game. Hey, 24 hours from now, if they lose to the Islanders and they're headed to Finland on this like low note, then that sucks. That's a sour note to go in on.
But for sure.
They pick it back up. It's all good.
All right. We're going to get out of here. We appreciate all of y'all. Oh, yeah, king of the game. I don't even know who our king of the game is. Oh, it deserves to be him.
Oh, it was Frankie, of course.
Yeah.
He looked at me and he goes, yeah, but he gave up a goal. And I was like, literally nobody else.
He did give up a goal, but he also had a .957 save percentage. Yeah.
He gave up one goal in a 1-0 game. Like, come on now.
He was their best player by default, if nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, you guys not being super high on the situation makes total sense. They're 4-3-1. Their 5-on-5 game doesn't look very good. Their depth doesn't look very good. Like, it makes sense. We are forever big picture, long-term people, though. That is how we live.
It's just the existence.
And like, you guys want to live in the moment and be really upset about wins and losses and that. That's totally cool. And,
like I said, if you're upset with this game, totally awesome.
There's 82 of these things.
I appreciate it.
It is hard to ride that roller coaster.
Be big mad about this hockey game. And then remember that they're above 500.
Yeah, Avery, have a drink on me.
There you go.
DM me your Venmo and I'll pay for it.
There it is.
I'll pay for your drink so you guys can have
take
a stiff
the edge
drink
off
and,
a little
yeah,
bit.
Exactly.
And then we have one super chat here, $5 from DeGro, who says, "Thank you for making me feel better about this game. Love you all."
Yeah, you're welcome. It's too early for us to panic.
Yeah.
That's where I am with it. Yeah.
And in a game they didn't play very well in, they lost 1-0.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they got smoked.
Yeah, if it's 5-0, you're feeling differently here. But it is 1-0.
So it is what it is. We're wrapping this baby up. We're going to get out of here. We appreciate y'all.
It'll be just the two of us again tomorrow.
Evan will be here tomorrow.
Oh, Evan will be here tomorrow. So I didn't know if he was back in town.
He said he should be able to make it.
Sick. So. You guys can listen to... I guess you guys can watch him just
should
argue.
We make him sit on the floor?
We should. We should make him sit in front of this.
There you go.
And his head just sits
front
right next
center,
to the DNVR.
Right up there. Oh, I love it.
Like a little floating head. That'd be fun.
We appreciate all of y'all.
I like this.
We're out of here until the next game, which was in like 12 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll talk to you later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.